Hi there. Welcome to Till Death, a true crime podcast. My name's Emily Brewster, and I am a true crime lover. And this is my co-host,
Dan, and I'm not really one.
But we're married, so I force him to listen to me tell him stories about true crime.
It's exciting.
Yeah, so each week we take a different, you know, somewhat well-known true crime. I will then explain the story to Dan, and we get his visceral reaction.
That actually is making me think of something. So we were just outside working on the yard.
Yeah.
As, you know, homeowners do. Do you think the body in our backyard has decomposed yet?
I think it's pretty far gone. I did see a bone sticking up. For those of you who haven't listened to our other podcasts, and by those of you, I mean like maybe the one person who's listening to this podcast. But a few weeks ago, we had we came back from vacation and found a dead deer behind our shed, and had to then figure out how to kind of deal with the smell and all this other stuff. Essentially, the town said they couldn't help us, so we kind of had to just like Google stuff like how to decompose a body. So
we're definitely on a list.
Yeah, but that's all right.
That's right.
Our local hardware store definitely thinks we're insane, but they still like our dog, so it's fine.
Yeah. Pro tip, lime apparently helps get rid of the smell.
I'm going to tell you, everybody who listens to this podcast probably already knows that.
How is that? How?
It's a true crime thing.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Like serial killers use it, or like people who, serial killers use lime for what?
Well, it's like on a lot of crime shows. I don't know that I can think of like any specific story where a killer or a serial killer or whoever used lime, but I feel like it's a trope on a lot of like murder mystery shows.
Mm. He kept saying lime at the hardware store. I didn't tell you this. The first time he said it, or the first few times, I thought he was saying lie. And I was like, I have lie. Because I thought he was
trying to... I feel like that would work too, though. Because you said it breaks down organic matter.
It does. But I didn't want to break down the deer. Anyway.
Isn't that the whole point? We wanted it to break down.
Yeah, I wanted the smell to go away.
Well, but we also wanted it to decompose and then the smell would go away.
Yeah, I guess. You're thinking two steps ahead. I'm only thinking one step
ahead. Yeah, you're just trying to fix one problem. I'm trying to like solve the disease. I don't know.
I just wonder how it got back there. Like that truly boggles my mind because it is a tight space.
Yeah.
So just paint a picture of like where we found this deer. Well, you found the deer.
I did find the deer.
And you thought it was a goat.
Okay. It was a little decomposed. All right.
That's the weirdest part is that it did look white and furry.
It looked like it had been there for a while.
Which is scary because when I first saw it, I kind of get why you thought it was a goat. Which is kind of gross.
Oh, is it the fungus?
Yeah, it's the whatever it is.
By the way, everybody go watch the Netflix documentary about the mushrooms.
It's really my God. Good. What's it called?
Magic mushrooms?
No,
like that?
Fantastic fungi.
That's what it is. Watch it. It's great.
It was fascinating.
I mean, maybe I'm just buying into it because it was a really cool documentary, but like it seems like there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about mushrooms, and there's a lot of applications for mushrooms.
Yes.
That we're not exploring.
And pro tip, only if marijuana is legal in your state, you might want to partake in a little and then watch it.
Yes. Yes. if it is legal, like it is where we are.
Yes.
Definitely indulge if that's your thing. Yes. If it's not your thing, still watch it. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it is cool. Anyway, what are we doing today? What am I learning about?
So quick question for you. What do you know about Gypsy Rose Blanchard?
That's a person's name.
That's a person's name. Well, I can touch on that in a little bit, but so there's Gypsy and Dee Dee Blanchard.
Can I guess what her profession is?
She's, you're going to be wrong.
I bet you I get it.
Okay.
Bet you she is the madame of like a, what's the proper, I don't want to say whorehouse. What's like the
brothel?
Brothel. That's the word I was on the tip of my tongue, but.
Okay. No.
She's not a madame?
No, she's a Gypsy Rose Blanchard is like a, well, now I guess she's probably 30. But during the story, she's like a kid. She doesn't have a job.
Oh, okay.
So that was nowhere near close, but okay. I see where you were going there.
She has a great name.
She does have a great name.
Gypsy actually, it's Rose
a, it's actually Blanchard. From, so Gypsy Rose is a character from a musical that I should really be able to tell you the name of right now. But
Rent.
Nope.
Hamilton.
Older. Older.
A lot older?
Well.
Phantom.
No.
Menace.
We're just, can we just get into the story? Okay. All right. So, all right. Let me just set the scene for you here. So it's June of 2015.
Okay. 2015.
You and I had just started dating. We were a few months in. We were
kids back then.
We were. I think that was around the first time I met your mom. So it was the first time we came to this house.
Wow. And we got Mexican food.
We did get Mexican food at by the train station.
Not at the train station, by the train station.
Exactly.
No, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But yeah. So June of 2015. So that's where we are. We're young, naive.
Fools.
But so residents of Springfield, Missouri called police to ask for a welfare check on their neighbors. So there was a single mother and her daughter. And they had seen some disturbing Facebook posts and like a lack of activity over at the house. Like the car was still there. And the two were really well known in the neighborhood. So Gypsy, the daughter, she was really sick. She was like in a wheelchair. She couldn't walk. And, you know, the community often helped Claudine, also known as Dee Dee. We're going to call her Dee Dee from the rest of the story.
Wait, that last sentence you just said, community what?
The community helped her.
Oh, Claudine?
Claudine, that was her name, but we're going to call her Dee Dee.
Okay. So
the mom.
Okay, it's the single mother.
Yes.
That's her name. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Claudine is the mom. The next two words on my page are the mother.
Okay, so I just had to wait.
Yep. Knowing that she was like a single mom who had really devoted her entire life to Gypsy's care, right? So when the police finally entered the home on June 14th, they found 48-year-old Dee Dee stabbed to death in her bed, and Gypsy Rose was missing.
Jeez.
So in the house, Gypsy's wheelchair and medications were still there.
Wheelchair?
Yes.
She's disabled.
Yes. I just said that before. She was in a wheelchair. She's very sick. She can't walk.
I'm listening.
Okay. But so the police began like really quickly began to search for her because they know it that she's likely kidnapped. And, you know, they're a little concerned because Gypsy, according to her mother, had muscular dystrophy, leukemia, asthma. She needed to be fed from a feeding tube and was paralyzed from the waist down. She also only had the mental capacity of a 17-year-old despite being 19. So remember that she's 19. Investigators knew they needed to find her and fast because all of her medications are there. Her wheelchair's there. She's clearly going to be in distress. So, you know, they start canvassing the neighborhood and they start talking to some neighbors. So they talk to a young woman who's about Gypsy's age. And apparently she said that Gypsy had confided to her that she had met someone online who she was secretly dating.
Oh, no.
And through some of the conversations that Gypsy had printed out and saved. Do you remember like doing that as a kid? Like, having like saving AIM conversations. And this is clearly like after that time.
I don't think I ever saved AIM conversations. Why would I want to save them?
Oh,
oh God. What conversations did you save? And side note, do you have these conversations?
No, I don't still have them. I didn't print them out, but she apparently printed them out.
Hmm.
So she was, you know, having a romance on the sly.
On AIM.
It wasn't AIM. It was Facebook because it was 2015. Yeah. But yes. So they found out, you know, they figured out who her boyfriend was. And so they were able to track down Nicholas Godijohn, who was 26 years old living in Wisconsin. So they
and
go,
she was 19.
She's 19. He's 26.
Is that like a weird, that's like a big,
that seems like that a point, big difference.
It's like a big difference.
So when they arrived, well, not to mention she has the mental, supposedly has the mental capacity of a 7-year-old.
Right. Yeah. I'm already thinking that this guy is taking advantage of her some way. Oh, well, you just give me a look.
Well, all right. I don't wait. Okay. Wait a couple of minutes here. So when they arrived, they found Gypsy Rose there with him.
Okay.
So after reading through some of the transcripts and their online text conversations, it became abundantly clear that the two had conspired together to kill Dee Dee and run off together.
But, okay, why did they need to kill her? They could have just run off together.
So both of them were arrested and taken into custody.
Okay.
Later that day, the police held a press conference to announce the arrests, but said, not everything is what it seems.
Okay, because I was just about to say, is that the end? Like, that's like the shortest story.
So, so you remember how I said she was in a wheelchair and she was sick and she had the mental capacity of a 7-year-old? So Gypsy was not, in fact, paralyzed. She could walk perfectly fine.
Okay.
I just told you that this girl had been in a wheelchair and then she
But your mom called. And I was trying to deal with your mom.
Damn, that's the big reveal.
Hold on. All right. I'm going to rewind. Say it again.
Okay. So he went on to share that Gypsy was not, in fact, paralyzed.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
You're an asshole.
Don't worry. I'll edit it. Can I guess what's going to happen, or is that not allowed?
You're not allowed right now.
Oh, I really want to guess.
Don't give it away.
I don't know.
We need to tell a story here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so Gypsy was not, in fact, paralyzed. Could walk perfectly fine. She didn't need a feeding tube. Ugh. She did not have cancer.
Oh, my God.
She says that all of this was, according to her, a ruse that her mother had forced her to perform for her entirety of her 24 years.
I was gonna guess that.
She's not 19. She's 24.
What?
Yes.
So I was gonna guess that. Isn't this like, wasn't there a Netflix thing on this?
It was HBO. It's called Mommy, Dead, and Dearest.
Oh, okay. Now it's coming back to me. Yeah, I remember when that came out, you were like, oh yeah, I wanna watch that because it's based on, and I just didn't know. Forgot the name.
There was also a Hulu, like, they did something with Patricia Arquette, where Patricia Arquette plays the mom. That's on Hulu. We did not watch that.
Okay.
But I watched the documentary multiple times.
What's the documentary called?
Mommy, Dead, and Dearest.
Oh, it's a documentary.
Yes.
Okay, I thought it was a...
documentary. One of my sources for this, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Cool. So she's not 19. She's actually 24. She didn't really know that she was 24.
Wow.
So
the mom was crazy.
So it's believed that Dee Dee had what's called... it used to be called Munchausen syndrome by proxy. It's now called fictitious disorder imposed on another. So do you know what Munchausen syndrome is, or fictitious disease?
I've heard of it. I just don't know what it is.
So Munchausen syndrome is something that like people have themselves, but Munchausen syndrome by proxy is defined as a mental health problem in which a caregiver makes up or causes an illness or injury in a person under his or her care, such as a child, an elderly adult, a person who has a disability. Because vulnerable people are the victims, this is a form of child or elder abuse.
Yeah.
A caregiver with Munchausen by proxy may lie about the child's symptoms, change test results to make a child appear ill, physically harm the child to produce symptoms, and victims are most often small children. They may get painful medical tests they don't need. They may even become seriously ill or injured, or may die because of the caregiver.
I have a question. Why do people do that?
It's a mental health issue. It's like you are diagnosed. It's a diagnosis. So it's essentially
think people do it, because I have my own opinion. You can mess around with the mic, whatever. I have my own opinion as to why they do this.
Okay, what's your theory?
One, I think it's power, that they like being, and two, I think it's like attention.
Yes.
It's like, oh, they get, what's it called? Like empathy from people.
Yes.
Like, oh,
a lot of empathy,
I'm so
a lot
sorry.
Of sympathy.
Oh, let me do this for you. And they like people like that kind of soak that up, or like narcissists soak that up.
Yeah. And then the other thing you're going to see throughout this story is that she also gets a lot of money.
How? Oh, well.
We'll get there. But yeah, and like So Munchausen syndrome is usually people doing it to themselves, like making themselves sick for sympathy.
What's that? Yeah. Okay.
Right.
I was thinking hypochondriac, but no, that's something.
So hypochondriac is similar. It's somebody who always thinks they're sick, but they're not.
Right.
Munchausen syndrome is like the next step where they actually make themselves sick.
So people who have Munchausen syndrome will literally make themselves sick.
They can like, they'll ingest certain things.
Really? Wow.
Yes. So that they can have treatment and get sympathy.
Wow.
Why
did I, this is going off in like another direction. Why did I think Munchausen syndrome was when, you know, when you get kidnapped and then you get released, but you like the kidnapper?
Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm, Munchausen. They sound like cities in like European cities.
Well, Stockholm is a European city.
They don't just sound like
it. Is.
Wait, is it? Is Munchausen?
Munchausen is not, but it is close to Munich, which might be what you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Okay.
Okay, anyway.
All right, back into the story. So how did all of this start, right? So who is Dee Dee? Dee Dee was born in 1967. In Louisiana, to her parents, Claude and Emma. So it's really interesting because in the documentary, they interview Claude and like, it's him and her stepmother because her mother has since passed away. But they are like very Cajun. Like everybody that they interview has this like very, very thick Cajun accent.
Cajun is like Louisiana, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so it was like very difficult for me to understand at certain points.
Really?
But I mean, they had subtitles, so I could. But it was like, it's a very, very different accent.
Do you think Cajun is the hardest like American accent to understand? Because it's wild like when you think about, we're one country, but we have all these different, we have like Southern, we have like Northern.
I don't know about hard to understand, but it's definitely like one you don't hear frequently.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like in movies,
subset of the country.
It's a very specific area. And I'm not going to pretend that I know the history of the Cajun accent. I guarantee you it comes from black and brown people who were brought to that area. Right?
Most like likely,
It has nothing to do with white people. So I'm not going to pretend that I know that history. But it's a very interesting accent. But I just wanted to kind of like set the scene as to who these people are. So she was born in 1967. Her family members report a lot of really like suspicious and vengeful behavior even when she was young. So her stepmother is interviewed and she says like, you know, when things didn't go her way, this is what she did to like get back at people, was like act like this and do. And she was very, very narcissistic. So she did a few things like used family members' identities to open up credit cards and max out the credit cards. She wrote a lot of bad checks and got in trouble for that. She was really pretty horrible to her family. Her mother passed away in like 1997 and the family openly suspects that she starved her mother to death.
No way.
So like there's not a ton of detail about this. I like tried to look into it a little bit more, but it seems like her mom was sick and like people would come over to visit and it seemed like her daughter, like Dee Dee, was denying her mother food.
Oh my God.
And so I don't know. It's like essentially it ultimately led to her death. And then later her stepmother even accused Dee Dee of poisoning her because she had like an unexplained illness for a long time where I think it was like 9 months where she couldn't get out of bed. And it vanished after Dee Dee moved away.
You want to know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
Do you remember in The Sixth Sense, the
girl
that visits him?
Yeah, that's that was Munchausen by proxy. Yeah. And she was feeding her poison.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where he puts out, or she tells him to watch this video. And you just got to tighten up. Technical difficulties on the podcast. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Do you know who that girl is?
No.
Misha Barton.
That's holy shit. We should watch that movie.
That's a great movie.
Can we watch that movie?
Yeah, we
tonight?
Can watch that tonight. Okay, that's a good. Great movie.
I love that movie. That I haven't seen that in a very long time.
Me too. That was one of the first M. Night Shyamalan movie that was like
huge.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's dead. Oh,
and then
are we going to ruin Sixth Sense for everybody?
But then at the end, there's like all these little clues that he's dead the whole time.
If it's you
like,
look back.
When you look back, Oh my God, we're going on a tangent.
Yeah, anyway, so I'm sorry if you haven't seen Sixth Sense in the 20 years since it came out.
For the one listener that listens to this podcast, singular, go watch Sixth Sense and then look at the girl. The girl is Misha Barton at like the 10 years old.
Oh my God. It's crazy. Okay, we're going to have to look at that.
And when she threw, I don't know how I remember this, it's just like really, because you know, I have a terrible memory.
Yeah.
When she throws up, it's
Oatmeal. That's what they always use.
Oh, it is? Okay. I don't know how I know that. Okay. Anyway.
We're going to go on an even further tangent. I did a sketch video in college where someone needed to throw up and we used oatmeal, and the person who had to throw up like hated oatmeal.
So they actually threw up.
Oh God, it was horrible. He didn't actually throw up, but oh my God, Alex, I'm sorry if you ever listened to this. That was horrendous. I know that you were not a happy fan.
I like oatmeal, but like when I learned that, I must have watched some video. I like stopped eating oatmeal because I was like, that's disgusting. Anyway.
Okay. So she poisoned her mom and her stepdad, or her stepmom rather. Right. So like, interestingly, like this is going to tell you what kind of person she was. Her whole family after she died refused to pick up her ashes.
No way. Because they thought it was like cursed, right?
Her father admitted that he thinks she got what she deserved.
Whoa.
So
that
like,
is heavy.
She's not great.
She's not a good person.
She's not a great person.
Yeah.
Okay. So in 1990.
I don't want people knowing what year I was born.
Well, now you told them. In 1990, she was 23 years old. And she met 17-year-old Rod Blanchard at a bowling alley. Super romantic, right? 23-year-old woman walking up to a 17-year-old kid.
I feel like in 1990, though, that's like where you went to like.
I mean, listen, meet I people. Love a bowling alley. I'm not.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not judging the bowling alley. I am judging her actions.
Yeah, 17. What's the age difference, math person?
Six.
Six?
6 years.
Yeah, but 17. So it's
17.
Like 17. 17's on the edge.
If you're like 26 and someone is 6 years older than you, I get that.
Yeah.
The difference in your life between a 17-year-old and a 23-year-old.
Huge.
17-year-old?
Huge.
Insane.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. Yeah, it's weird. That's really weird.
So whatever. They started dating. She ended up pregnant. And they got married shortly after. So they interviewed Rod in the documentary. And he describes this as, quote, "I was raised where, you know, if you got a girl pregnant, then you got married. There was no question about what you did. I was 17. But I woke up on my 18th birthday and I'm like, you know, what am I doing here?" So before Gypsy's born, he actually leaves. But he's very involved in Gypsy's life.
Oh, good.
But he does, you know, he's like, listen, I'm 18 years old. I married this random woman. Like, what? So we like Rod. So he really tried very hard to be in Gypsy's life. He paid child support throughout her entire life. But Dee Dee really made it almost impossible. So Gypsy was born in 1991. And starting at about 3 months old, Dee Dee began telling people that Gypsy had sleep apnea and that she needed a CPAP machine. So
those things are expensive too. Like
also a baby?
Yeah. She sounds crazy.
I mean,
those machines are, especially even back then, like thousands of dollars, I think.
Yeah. So this then progressed to her telling people that Gypsy had issues with her eyes, her breathing, and ultimately that she like wasn't able to walk. So Dee Dee told family and friends that Gypsy had a unspecified, quote, chromosomal disorder.
God.
That was causing all of the issues. So by 7 or 8 years old, she had like fallen off of a bike or something. And her mom convinced her that she needed a wheelchair from now on and she couldn't walk on her own. So she even had doctors like perform unnecessary surgeries on her.
Oh my God. Wait. How can you convince a doctor?
It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. So the first surgery that she has her implant a feeding tube, which needed to be changed like every 6 months. So this girl had surgeries constantly.
What doctor agrees to that without having some kind of backup?
So we'll get into some of it, but essentially like as she got older, she claimed that we'll get into it. Let me kind of keep going for a little bit here. So she stopped going to school by the second grade. Some reports say kindergarten, but second grade seems to be the more reliable number here. So she said that her mom was homeschooling her, and this was supposedly because she was too sick, as well as the fact that she was, like, mentally deficient. On all of, like, the paperwork, it says, like, retardation and, like, that she's – it's all very strange.
But her mother is doing something to, like, keep her mentally
So she isolates her. And we're going to get into this, but, like, every time they talk to Gypsy, she talks in this, like, little girl voice. And she's smiling and she's really big-eyed and
– Yeah.
I'm sorry. He freaked our dog out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I remember from the I watched the Hulu trailer. And I was like, "Oh, this actually looks pretty good." And I remember that from the trailer. She talked like really weird.
She talks like a little girl, even though she's like 25. So I'm sure her mother was infantilizing her like her entire life.
Right. Oh, this poor girl.
Yeah. So during this time, she took the Gypsy to the doctor constantly, and she like convinced doctors that like she was sick. And so what she would do, sometimes she would give her things to induce certain symptoms, right? She'd give her certain medications. She was convinced that she had muscular dystrophy, but they did a biopsy and confirmed that, like, she didn't have muscular dystrophy. And so it's, like, really unclear, like, what type of medication she was giving her. But regardless, she got treatment for a lot of different diseases, like seizures. She said that she was having seizures all the time. And so the reason that she could convince doctors is she got her daughter to go along with it. And then how would the doctor know if she's having, like, they're not going to induce a seizure.
Right.
Don't know what's causing it.
Yeah, seizures are one of those things that she could basically lie about and the doctor's like, okay.
Yeah, but the seizure medication then caused all of these other symptoms that start causing all of these other diagnoses. And it's like all of this crazy, crazy stuff. So in the documentary, they like showed a document that Dee Dee shared with doctors. And this was the list of things that she said that Gypsy had. So epilepsy, vision impaired, hearing impaired, GI reflux, quadriplegia, muscular dystrophy, anemia, hypoventilation with a CPAP, asthma, allergies, mild mental retardation, leukemia, incontinence, lung disease, and a heart murmur.
Oh my God.
So the funniest part about this list is they show the document and 99% of it has spelling mistakes.
Oh my God.
Like really basic. I'm sorry. So everything, so vision impaired and hearing impaired said impaired, I-N-paired. Allergies was spelled Y-S instead of I-E-S. That one, I get that one. But she also wrote retardation.
Oh, God.
Incontinence.
Oh, my God.
And instead of heart murmur, it was mummer, like a mummer show. Her heart's playing characters.
As you're like listing all these things out, my thought is, how much is all of this costing her, and how does she have the money? Like, she constantly
doesn't.
Hear.
She so, doesn't right, work.
This is the thing I'm thinking about is, we constantly hear about, especially in the United States, people who go into the ER and then have like a $50,000 bill.
It's all fraud.
So she's just not paying.
Well, she's paying, but she's applying to all of these grants and these donations and getting, like, it's not super clear, but, like, eventually, like, she gets into Make-A-Wish and, like...
Oh, my God. Yeah. So she's able to basically, like, work the system in order to pay for all of this.
Yep. And money from Rod, a 17-year-old kid. Like, I mean, he's not 17 anymore, but still.
I was going to say, he stayed 17?
17 again. It's the Zac Efron movie. No, wait, what was the one? Tuck Everlasting.
What is Tuck Everlasting?
Oh, God, it was some book I read in a book club when we were like...
They made it a movie too, right?
They did, and it was something about this kid who was like 17 forever. And
yeah, someone famous is in it.
I don't remember.
To our single listener, could you let us know?
Can someone look that up on IMDb? Okay, so she was also on like over like so many different medications, and they like scrolled a list on the documentary. Oh. But I was like, and I was trying to write them down, but there were like antidepressants, there were statins, there were anti-seizure medications. And so the weirdest part about, well, not the weirdest, but the most convenient part for Dee Dee is that all of the medications were administered through the feeding tube.
Oh my.
So Gypsy had zero control. She couldn't like hide them in her mouth and spit them out. Like also, she's isolated from everybody. This is all she knows. She thinks this is normal.
Right, exactly. She has no one to talk to.
She has no one to talk to. She like her family. So like her family starts asking questions, right? Like the grandparents and the cousins and everything are like, I think she can walk. Like, I don't really know what's going on.
Because they don't trust
the mother at all. They don't trust Dee Dee. They do not trust Dee Dee. Yeah. And they're like really sketchy. So they're living in like not great housing. I think they have like state sponsors housing at first. But it's 2005 and Katrina hits.
Oh, and they're in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So this is actually one of the biggest things that Dee Dee uses to hide what she's doing. Do you want to open that?
Can I?
Yeah.
I'd be more comfortable if I could put up my feet.
You do that. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I scared the dog. No, I'm not that comfortable. Sorry. I'll edit this. Don't worry.
Okay. So, but this is something she uses Katrina to her advantage, right? Because she can say, oh, all of the medical records were lost in the storm. We have all of these diagnoses.
And they could just believe her?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So I think she was doing like the walking thing and the like kind of sick thing up until 2005. And then they moved to Missouri because they like go to a shelter. And I don't know if their home was actually destroyed during the storm or not. I don't want to pretend that that didn't happen to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But so they go to one of the larger shelters and they go to a doctor and they're getting, you know, special care because she's, you know, a special needs kid. And like throughout all of this, by the way, Dee Dee is shaving Gypsy's head.
Right, I remember that from the movie trailer.
She's always shaving her head because it makes her look like a little kid and it makes her look like a cancer patient.
Right.
She tells her your medicine's going to make your hair fall out anyway, so like we're going to shave your head. Like Gypsy, the only thing that she knew was that she could walk. She thought she had all these other diseases.
Wow. And the mom, she doesn't have a job?
She's not that I was aware of.
I don't know how you pay for all of this. I don't know how you pay for life, like, without a job regularly, let alone with having to go to the doctor all the time, pay for all these medications. Man. Yeah,
I don't know. But so, okay, so they moved to Missouri, right? Okay. So first they moved into Aurora. And so, like, during this time, they got a lot of honors by local foundations and, like, awards and stuff. And then in 2008... Habitat for Humanity builds them a fucking house.
Oh my God. This woman knew how to work the system.
Like this is what I'm telling you. Like they're getting money for this shit.
That is and really crazy. And so
she gets, you know, free every time they have to go to a hospital, they go and stay at Ronald McDonald House. And they received free flights to go to specialty children's hospitals. And they got backstage passes to Miranda Lambert concerts.
And the weirdest. Okay.
Yeah. And multiple free trips to Disney.
I was actually thinking, as you said Miranda Lambert, I was like, man, I wonder if they ever went to Disney.
Yeah. Oh, they went to Disney all the time. Actually, there was a TikTok that blew up a little bit earlier this year where there was this girl who found this photo from when she was at Disney, like, I don't know, whenever. And in the background, you can see Gypsy.
No way.
Yes.
Damn.
Isn't that wild?
That is crazy.
But so, like, they get a lot of different, like, Make-A-Wish awards. They get all of this stuff. And so, like I said, she shaved her daughter's head. And so that she really looks sick. And so she starts, like, lying to Gypsy about her age. So Dee Dee, Gypsy doesn't know how old she is, right? Like, she is very confused. Her mom, like, is infantilizing her. She gives her these, like, giant glasses and her teeth are all messed up from her anti-seizure medication. So she like doesn't, she looks like a little kid. Her front teeth are missing. She's small. She talks in a tiny baby voice. And they all do this like, just it's this very like insular world where all she's watching is Disney movies, and she gets princess costumes, and she gets to talk about all her dreams and her hopes at like this very high level. And her mom doesn't give her any idea of like what the real world is.
Wow. But she's like in her 20s.
I mean, it's happening throughout her whole life, yeah. Right? So like, but even when she's like in her 20s, her mom is still treating her like she's, you know, a little kid. So throughout, like I said, she's lying to her. So Rod calls on Gypsy's 18th birthday. So her dad calls to wish her happy birthday. And Dee Dee says, don't mention her age because she, quote, thinks she's 14.
What the f... And the dad wasn't like, you're crazy?
The dad doesn't seem like he had a lot of agency with this woman. Like, she really wanted to... So, like, Rod and his second wife really, like, wanted to go and see Dee Dee, and they tried to... Sorry, Gypsy, and tried to visit her. But Dee Dee would, like, always change the plans. She was very manipulative. So it was one of those things where he, like, didn't have a lot of options. And the larger issue was everybody really thought that Gypsy was sick.
Yeah.
Because they had no evidence to the contrary, right?
Like, yes, but as a father, I would try to be more involved.
What can you do? Well, she, judgment. But so Dee Dee was telling people that Gypsy's father was an abusive drug addict alcoholic who never had come to terms with his daughter's health issues and like didn't send them money.
She was telling all of these people this?
She was telling all the neighbors this, all of this stuff. So if he were to show up, they'd call the police.
Right.
Damn. And then what do you do?
Man, she is.
You know, you see a mother taking care of a sick daughter and a man who's like demanding things.
Yeah.
Bias is going to be towards the mother, right? Yeah. She's going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So, and like he was sending child support. He was sending like $2,000 a month, like more, you know, he was sending money. And she just like wasn't, I mean, clearly she's ill. So like I said, Gypsy knew that she could walk, but she thought she was sick. So it's like really creepy though to also watch them. So like outside of the fact of the insular behavior of like her keeping her really confined, like Dee Dee films a lot. Like there's a lot of home videos, and it's so that they can like submit them to like foundations and stuff like that. Like, look at this loving mother-daughter pair.
In the documentary that you watched, they showed some of the home videos.
Yes. Yes. And so they showed this home video, and it's really creepy. Like she's sitting there giggling with her mom and like giggling like as if she's like a 5-year-old.
How old does she look?
Oh, she's got to be, well, at the there she has to be at least 15, if not older. And she's acting like a 5-year-old. And she's sitting there, you know, she's got a shaved head. She looks like she can't see. She's got these giant glasses on. She has no teeth. And she's giggling and smiling really hard and like big, big, big smile. But you hear her say, are we still on? Like almost to ask if she could like drop the act.
Oh, wow.
And like that's me inferring, right? Like that's not explicit. Gypsy doesn't say that. But it really does feel like she's like, hey, can I like stop pretending now?
This poor girl. I feel so bad for this girl.
And so they do like TV interviews or whenever they were in a doctor's office or whenever they were in front of people, Dee Dee would hold Gypsy's hand. And if Gypsy said the wrong thing, she'd squeeze her hand. And then when they were in private, she would like hit her. She would hit her with an open hand or a wire hanger is what she says.
What's that movie that was like? That woman was like, no more wire hangers. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Where she's a crazy mother. That's what made me think of that. It's Kathy Bates. She goes, no more wire hangers. It's an old movie. And it's kind of a similar situation. I think it's a similar situation.
Is it the one, is it Misery? Where she breaks the guy's ankles because she's obsessed with him as a writer?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking. Yeah. I think it is that. Maybe.
I've never seen that.
I've never seen it either. I've
never seen that.
I don't know why I thought.
But yeah, so like that was how she, you know, she told her basically not to tell, right? And she created this area of fear, and like her mom would tell her, like, nobody's ever gonna believe you, like you're mentally incapacitated. Like, you know, she really set up this system so that Gypsy thought, you know, A, this is how life is, and B, that, you know, nobody was going to believe her, even if she did say something.
So the mom was basically just hoping, because, like, eventually this girl is going to turn into a woman, like what happened. And the mom was basically just hoping, I'm going to keep her sick so that I can just milk this for as long as possible.
Because if she's in a wheelchair and has leukemia and does all of these things, she's always going to be dependent on her.
Wow.
Right? I think part of it as well, like part of the Munchausens is also like needing, it's codependency. Like she needs someone to depend on her. Like she has this daughter now and she's like, this person is never going to leave me.
Right.
And so she makes it so that she can't leave.
Yeah.
Right. So between 2005 and 2014, Gypsy had over 100 hospital visits. And each time her mother, like I said, would tell her not to talk and tell her to like play with a Barbie doll. She's like 15 years old and she's like, here, play with a Barbie doll. And she's like, let the grown-ups talk. And so it really, it just continued to reiterate that idea that she's infantile and helpless. She'd just say like, just make sure you don't move your legs. That was like the one thing. And it's funny because you can see in the home videos, there's one of her like launching off the side of like the railing at their house into the snow. And it's clear she can move her legs. And like, you can tell she's like trying not to.
Oh God. Yeah.
But like, I don't know. It's all weird. But so it's just really creepy. So at one point, actually around 2007, they take her to a pediatric neurologist, Bernardo Flasterstein.
That's a name. Great name.
That is a name.
Bernardo.
Stein. Bernardo Flasterstein. Flasterstein. Flasterstein.
What do you think that is? Italian? No. Bernardo.
Bernardo. Bernardo could be a lot of different languages.
Spain.
Could be Spain. Could be Italian. Could be Portuguese. Not really, but.
You just wanted to say that because you're Portuguese.
Maybe. But so this doctor became suspicious about Gypsy's health because he's like looking at her and the muscles on her legs. If she has been in a wheelchair since she was 7 years old, her legs should be atrophied.
Right, exactly.
She has like muscle mass. And so like they did a test and the test for muscular dystrophy comes back negative.
Right.
And he's like talking to the mother and she's like, basically he starts like writing all of this stuff in his report, and he says, quote, the mother is not a good historian. She claims that all of the medical like records were destroyed in Katrina. There's like all of this different stuff.
He's starting to suspect her.
He suspects her.
Okay, good.
This is 2007.
Yikes.
And in his report, he says, I suspect Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
Good for him.
Does he call Child Protective Services?
No, because people suck.
No.
Of course not. This sucks because like there were so many times where people could have stepped in and been like, because people in the back of their head so many times were like, yeah, something doesn't seem right. The family, the dad, something doesn't seem right. Why does she keep, you know, blowing us off?
Yeah.
And so many times they could have just taken one step forward.
Yeah.
Even the doctor, it's yeah. like.
And she like wasn't allowed to have friends on her own. She wasn't allowed to do anything on her own. And so this doctor like, so he never called, right? And he's, the reason that he says he doesn't call is that like all the other doctors basically said like treat these two with golden gloves. Like they need to be protected at all costs. Like nobody's going to believe you. So he doesn't call. Still not a fucking reason not to call. I'm sorry. But I will say in 2009, an anonymous caller did call the police and said like there were some discrepancies in their personal information. She was giving wrong birth dates and wrong information for both of them. And so the police were called. And so the police show up and Dee Dee basically says like, oh, you know, we were giving false birth dates because it'll make it harder for my ex to track us. Like he's abusive. We don't want him to find us. All of that bullshit. So they left. The police left. They were like, oh, yeah, that's fine. This girl is 17. Sorry, she's 19 years old at this point.
So many people could have just taken that next step.
Yeah, I know. Just like do something. This is really okay. But okay, so as she got older, though,
yeah,
she's like, you know, she's not mentally handicapped.
Right. And she's probably
she's like 19 years old.
Right. She's probably getting to the point where she's like, hey, something's off. Like, because she's not a kid anymore. At 19, you're starting to become an adult and you're like, hey, I can do things on my own. Like, this isn't right. I can walk.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I need this medication.
So she liked to go to fantasy conventions because she could, like, dress up. And even in a wheelchair, she kind of fit in because everybody looked weird, right?
Well, don't say weird.
Well, not weird. Different. Sorry, not you know what I mean.
We're weird.
Are you kidding me? I would love a fantasy convention. I am not judging anyone.
What is a fantasy convention?
Like Comic-Con, or, like, anything like that.
Yeah.
Anything, any cons, like the conventions. But, but like all of that kind of stuff. Like, she felt like she had a place there. She didn't completely stand out from everybody else, right? And so she, like, made some friends and she could blend in a little bit. But, you know, all of her friendships were monitored by her mother. You know, she couldn't, like, hang out with people without other people around. So in 2011, when she was about 20, she, quote, ran away to one of these friends' houses. She, like, had told her friend that, like, she, you know, she was having trouble with her mom, all of this different stuff. And he said, you can come and live here. And so she left and she ran away to this person's house. And her mom was able to really quickly track her down, unfortunately. Damn. And so she's 20 years old, but she thinks she's like 16.
And she's hanging out with other 16-year-olds.
She's hanging out with like an adult man.
Oh.
It's all very confusing when she found out about her age, but it's all going to be very confusing, and it's probably very confusing for Gypsy at the same time, right? Yeah. Like, she didn't understand what was happening.
Right.
And so the mom shows up at that friend's house and says she's going to call the police because she was 16 and underage and that he raped her or whatever. They didn't have sex, but she was just going to suggest that, right?
God, this woman is a monster.
So when they get home, Gypsy says that her mother smashed her computer and phone with a hammer, tied her to the bed with a leash and handcuffs for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. And I bet you this was a turning point for Gypsy because she probably now realizes, hey, this is something is wrong.
Yeah. So at this time, Dee Dee also hires a lawyer and she starts like legal proceedings to have Gypsy deemed mentally incompetent. So that she can probably have like a conservatorship.
Right. So she can take over.
Speaking of, Brittany officially freed out of her conservatorship. Thank you. Free Brittany.
Free Brittany. Hashtag free
Brittany. But so, you know, basically she was going to put her in this conservatorship. And she also implicitly threatened that if Gypsy were going to go to the police, she would just say that Gypsy's emotionally disturbed and she has no idea what she's talking about.
Right.
Right. Oh, Jesus. So, you know, Dee Dee did give her a little bit of leeway. She did allow Gypsy to have a Facebook profile, but as every 20-something's dream, she had to share it with her mother.
Oh, beautiful.
So they had a joint Facebook account.
She needs a Finsta, fake Insta. That's what the young kids do these days.
I thought Finsta was fitness Insta.
No. It's fake Insta.
I'm old.
You are old. Oh, I'm trying. God. I'm the old one.
You've You're told supposed me to be multiple things about social media today.
What was the first one? What did about I tell you today?
Hype houses or whatever.
Oh yeah, we're talking about because you were watching SVU.
Yes.
Or was it organized crime?
No, it was SVU. SVU. I was watching organized crime. I'm going back and forth. I'm getting through the season.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Regardless. So they had a joint profile on Facebook, right? But so...
Oh, God, that is so... Okay, can we just stop for a second?
Yes.
Is it weird? I think it's the weirdest thing in the world where couples...
I hate that. Like, I hate that.
Whenever I see that, I'm like, oh, you guys are weird. Like, I'm weird, but you guys are like a different weird.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Aunt Julie and Uncle Phil. I know you guys have a joint Facebook, but it's very odd to me. Maybe it's an American thing and maybe it's okay in England, but it's very weird.
It is weird. Or maybe something changes, like, because people do it when they have like kids, I think, so they can like share the family photos, like all on one account.
There's also a group chat for that.
Yeah.
There are like specific apps about sharing. Because like I know I have family who didn't want to share pictures of their children on social media, but they did want to share them with family and friends.
Yeah.
And so they like there's like an insular app where you invite people. It's a whole thing.
It's also called just making your social media private.
Yeah. But you'd have to remove all of the million people that you've added over the past you know, however long social media has been around. Yeah. But
anyway.
So, you know, like every other teenager / 20-year-old who's rebelling, she actually created a separate Facebook account. So you were right. So she created a fake one. She really learns to like hide her online activity, right? So she's going on after her mom goes to sleep she's like doing all this stuff, right? Honestly, who didn't go online after their parents went to bed and like do things that you weren't supposed to? I had a MySpace when I wasn't supposed to, and my mom found it and I got in major trouble.
I did it all the time.
I remember I was at the like community pool. I was at the town pool, and I remember my mom showed up and she was so mad.
How did she find out?
She found it on the computer. She's not an idiot. I'm an idiot. I probably forgot to log out or something. And my mom found it and she was so mad. So mad.
I can't even see your mom mad.
Really?
No. She's the nicest person.
Oh, you've heard us like yell at each other.
Yeah, but okay. Your yelling at each other is different than like normal yelling.
Yeah, we yell at each other for like 2 seconds and then 2 seconds later we're perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's like you get out the steam, this energy, and then you're oh, we're back.
It's kind of like a pressure cooker. We do kind of have to just like release a little bit occasionally and then we're good.
And then you're fine. You go back to normal. It's like, what? This is not normal, but okay.
Well, and we like, I don't know, but this was like, she was mad at me. I was in trouble. It was the thing.
Yeah.
And I was a kid who didn't get in trouble. So it was like a big deal.
Of course.
And I think it was the same summer after I snuck out. Regardless, it's fine.
I was used to getting in trouble.
Yeah. But okay, so she's got this secret online profile, right? And so she actually joins a Christian dating app.
Christian Mingle?
Well, it's not an app. I guess it was just a site that she joined. It might have been Christian Mingle. It might have been. Who knows? But so this is how she meets Nicholas Godejohn. So Godejohn, I believe he's a little bit older than her. But so he was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. So he has some like trouble relating to other people. But he really felt he found kinship with Gypsy, who also, you know, she was isolated from people. She didn't have great social skills. Like, I think, you know, they really found solace in each other where they kind of felt like outsiders everywhere else. Yeah. Right. And, you know, she clearly didn't have any normal friendships because of the way her mom raised her. So all of that, like, they really kind of clicked, and it kind of blossomed pretty quickly, right? So they started talking on Facebook. They had, like, secret cell phones they were texting each other on, right? But the problem is that the only template that she really had for romantic relationships were, like, Disney movies.
Oh, no.
So she was, like, she had this, like, very highfalutin romantic expectation of what this was going to be.
Yeah.
And so they were going to run off into the sunset together and like all of these things. Like, she talks in the documentary about how her favorite Disney movie was Tangled, which is the story of Rapunzel, and how she's kidnapped by this like evil woman who pretends to be her mom and like keeps her locked in a tower. Oh, so like you can understand, right? You understand her kinship to the story, right? Yeah. So she's very, you know, she's very, very into that. So like, it was like a typical teenage first love. They were like grossly romantic. Like,
of course,
those people you didn't want to be near because they were just so gross.
But she was already, she was in her 20s at this point.
They both were.
Oh, they both were. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is like 2014. So I guess she's 24. He's like 26. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Which I think was like the age that we were as well at that time. But like.
When we met?
Not when we met. I was 22 when we met. But when this happened. Oh, I guess not then. I guess they were a little bit older. Because she was... Yeah, okay. Regardless. Whatever. It's fine. But so... Like, it was really, really rose-covered. But after a while, Godejohn admits that he's, like, kind of really into BDSM.
Wait, the Asperger's kid?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, like, sure. Okay, two consenting adults.
What does BDSM stand for?
Bondage, domination, submissive, masochism, maybe?
Seriously?
Maybe.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just making up words.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Oh.
I'm sorry. One listener, if you're into BDSM, I'm very sorry if I don't know the details.
Imagine.
Can you tell we don't?
the singular listener that we have.
Hello, listener. Should we name him? Is it Charles? Hey, Charles. Charlie, how's it going?
Hey, Charles. How you doing?
But so, okay. So like they interview Gypsy after, like, in this documentary, and she's like, well, you know, and she seems like ashamed of it. Like, girl, you do you. If you liked BDSM, go for it. But listen, she's also like never really had a sexual relationship. She doesn't really know.
To go from like zero to BDSM is like, okay.
Yeah. And like, I honestly don't know that they were like truly doing BDSM, right? They were texting and like they were just, he was just dominant and she was a little more submissive, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But so he also, so Nick believes that he has DID.
What's up?
A dissociative, dissociative identity disorder. So he thinks he has multiple personalities.
Oh, geez.
Which he hasn't been diagnosed for that. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but he, I mean, he clearly has mental health issues.
Yeah.
But so he believes that he has like these other darker alter egos. And one day he asks, so like, first off, before they get into this, there's like weird stuff that they're commenting on Facebook. And like, I don't know if this, like the documentary made this up or what it was, but they were showing these like weird drawings of like Princess Belle, like bent over in a very short dress, and they're like, oh, you can be my beast, and like all of this
that he did.
Yes. Or no, she was saying it was like on the internet and they were commenting on it.
Oh, I see. It was something that they were like quote unquote into together.
Yes,
I see.
And so she was like, you could be my beast any day. And it, I listen, I'm not gonna judge anybody for doing that in their private life. This just led to really weird stuff.
There's a name for that. Is it called Rule 34?
That there's porn of everything.
Yeah, yeah, yes. That's what it is.
That okay. There's porn of literally everything. Yes.
Okay.
So like whatever. But so she says that she like was so used to being submissive with her mother that it was like easy enough for her to kind of slip into this. So like, but so he wanted people essentially to, he wanted her to create alter egos to date his alter egos.
Oh my God.
So she creates these three characters.
They're like furries. Do you know what a furry is?
Yes, I know what a furry is. But so she's got Kitty, who's like a little schoolgirl. And like, so she, and the thing is, because she's shaved her head all the time, she has all of these wigs. So she actually kind of like gets into these characters and like has fun with it. And like I said, if you're into role play, go for it. But so she had Kitty, who was like a schoolgirl. She had Candy, who was like more of a rave girl. She had like, she was like rainbow bright, but sexy type stuff. But it's so eerie because they show these photos and it's like her in like a bra being like sexy, but she's so childlike that it's creepy as fuck.
Ugh, yeah.
Like she's not a child, so it is not child sex abuse imagery, but it feels like it is.
Yeah. It's like they're in their 20s.
Yeah.
At this point. Yeah.
So it's like she kind of thinks she's 19, but she's not.
What an odd situation.
It's all very weird.
Yeah. And the whole time the mother's completely unaware.
She doesn't know about this at all.
Wow.
So they were sending sexually explicit text messages to each other. She was sending photos. And there was the third identity, Ruby, who was like the bad girl. Ooh. Kind of thing, right? So basically her mom obviously doesn't know anything about this, but they're like, we're in love. We're going to be together forever. Like we're going to get married and run off into the sunset. So she's like, all right, so we need to like somehow run into each other so that my mom will know who you are. So that we can like theoretically hang out in person.
Oh, she's smart.
Yeah. So she decides, all right, we're going to go see a movie and you're going to come and see this same movie. So meanwhile, he lives in Wisconsin and she lives in Missouri.
Whoa. That's
so okay. He takes a bus and like.
How can they hang out then?
They don't hang out.
Oh, they just text each other.
They're just fully online. This is a full online relationship.
Wait, have they ever met each other?
They, at this point, I think.
At this point, okay.
I think this is the point where they meet.
At the movies.
This is what I understand, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I think they, like, talked on the phone and all of the stuff, but they, like, wholly online relationship.
Wow,
could okay. be a complete catfish.
Did not know that, yeah, okay.
So they decided to meet in person, and so they're going to see the movie, the live-action Cinderella.
Oh, that's the one with, no, Cinderella. Didn't they just do another Cinderella?
They just did another Cinderella. This was one that they did in 2014 or 2015.
It's not Emma Watson. No, that's...
That was Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. What's the live-action Cinderella one?
It wasn't very good.
Okay.
But that's it why has... They, you know it. Who's in it? I think is the guy who played Robb Stark. The guy from The Bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Uh-oh. What if he's our one listener?
Oh, no. We loved you in Game of Thrones. I'm so sorry. And The Bodyguard.
And The Bodyguard.
Damn, you were great in The Bodyguard. That was a great show.
Watch that show. If you haven't seen that, it's on BBC?
It's on Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. It's a Netflix show, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
He's good.
That was good. That was
McFadden?
Really good.
Something McFadden.
Nah.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Something McFadden.
All right. Anyway. It's killing you.
It's killing
that
me.
That you can't think of his name. I can... You look like... Oh, God. All right. Just... Okay. We can do it after the
podcast. It's fine. I will look it up later, but it's going to drive me crazy. Okay. So basically, she's like, all right, you take the bus here. You go see the same movie. We'll bump into each other and become friends, quote unquote. The funny thing is her mom was like, this guy's really creepy. Like, he's coming to see Cinderella on his own. Like, it's a kid's movie.
Oh, when they did meet.
Yeah, they, like, this ran, like, okay, imagine this, right? Imagine you're Dee Dee. And, like, I am not defending Dee Dee in anything that she did except for this moment. Because she's like, okay, I'm going to take my daughter to the movies. Oh, there's a random 26-year-old man coming to see Cinderella by himself. And he's like, we should be friends. Like, yeah. What the fuck?
That is weird.
Well, it gets even weirder because she makes him, or he goes to the bathroom in the middle of the movie and she goes and follows him and grabs him, pulls him into a stall and has sex with him.
No way.
Yes.
Wait, in her wheelchair?
I don't understand the logistics.
You need to paint a picture of the details.
I don't because she doesn't explain it very well. I don't know if she went into the bathroom with her wheelchair and then just like stood up or what.
Damn.
Yes.
That's wild.
Wild.
So they, oh man, yeah, I guess you don't know the details.
I don't know
so
if they like,
I
don't know if they like put a wig on her when she like, and she like goes incognito, like as a normal kid to the movies sometimes or like when she has to be in the wheelchair. It's not super clear.
Okay.
But yeah.
She's still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. She's literally between our ages. She's 30 years old.
No. Yeah. I wasn't sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Whatever. So they bumped into each other and they go have sex in the bathroom. So after about a year of them dating, she starts confessing to Nicholas all of what her mother's doing. Right. She's, you know, saying she's feeding me these medications. Like, I'm not sick at all. She's super controlling. She hits me.
So
like,
at this point, she's fully aware that she's not sick.
She thinks she's not sick. She's not 100% sure.
Okay.
But she knows the medication doesn't make her feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And that she can walk.
Yeah. She knows she can walk for sure. So they start talking about plans to like get away from her mother and like how they could be together. Right. So according to Gypsy, she said that they had a lot of different plans. Her primary plan was she wanted to get pregnant and then her mom wouldn't be able to say anything.
That's smart, but kind of terrifying that you have to get pregnant to be able to get away from this person. But also, what if it backfires?
I know.
And then the mom is like, okay, now I have two human beings to control.
Does she seem like the kind of person who's thinking things through very well?
Who?
Gypsy.
I mean, she's pretty smart with kind of what she's done so far. She hasn't gotten caught. She's come up with decent ideas of how to introduce this guy. She's also, you got to give her the benefit of the doubt. Like,
listen, I am not judging her at all. I'm just saying she hasn't really had a lot of life experience. Her mom doesn't let her watch things.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to.
Oh, for sure. Know. For sure. Right. But. And like, regardless. So that was her first plan, was she was going to get pregnant, right? And they were going to be able to run away. So it's not the best plan, but like, I guess if you're desperate, like, and you think that you're going to spend your entire life with this man, like, okay, sure. But so then there was plan B, which plan B was killing her. And they kind of explicitly said it, but kind of didn't.
So they like danced around it. Like, quote unquote, we could get rid of her or something like that.
Well, so I think he says like, I'll protect you from anything. And she says anything. And he says anything. And she goes, even my mom. And he goes, even your mom. And so it's like basically clear that like they're going to kind of get rid of her or hurt her or whatever.
I see.
So at a certain point, she gets like really desperate and she tells him she was ready. She's like, I'm ready to leave. Like, regardless of what this is going to be really traumatizing for her. Either it's leaving her mother and cutting her off forever.
Yeah. And going into a world that she has almost no idea exists.
Or understanding.
Yeah, she doesn't understand basic things. She has
no
things.
Idea.
Right.
No idea. So basically, the plan was Nick would take the bus from Wisconsin. And in the middle of the night, Gypsy would let him in. He would then kill her mother and they would run away together. So what they did was, she opens the door. She hands him a knife and gloves. And she goes into the bathroom, covers her ears, and curls up in the fetal position. And listens to her boyfriend killing her mother. So he stabs her, like, a lot.
Wow.
He had said this earlier. Apparently they had this agreement that... And it's so weird to hear them talk about it because Nick has Asperger's, I don't think he truly understands the impact of certain things that he says. And he's like in this insular world on the internet. But so he told Gypsy that he wanted to rape her mother because of all the shit that she did to her.
Jesus Christ.
And she was like, don't do that. And so what she says is, you can rape me instead, which
what
like...
the f-
There are so many things. First off, they're killing someone. So you already have that problem. Putting that aside, like, there is clear issues with both of these people.
With everyone involved, but two of them have excuses.
Yeah. Not excuses, but explanations.
Exactly. Explanations as to why. Wow, what a crazy situation. So he kills her.
He kills her. And then they like hang around the house. They have sex. They then pack a bag. They go to a motel for the night. And then they take the bus back to Wisconsin. So before they do that, they take the murder weapon and they put it in an envelope and they mail it to his home address so they don't have it on them.
Okay. I'm trying to think if that's like a good idea or a terrible idea.
I can't really tell. I feel like if they couldn't find you, it's a good idea. But since you're mailing it to your house, like, also, why wouldn't you just wipe it clean of prints?
Yeah, just wipe it
clean. Why wouldn't you, like, put it in bleach and, like, leave it?
Yes, or get rid of it somehow, like, on your way to Wisconsin.
Like, put it in a random dumpster that nobody would ever be able to track to you.
Exactly.
Like, there's so many other options. God, be better at murder, people. Murder people better.
Oh, my God.
Regardless. So before they go, Gypsy goes onto their joint Facebook account and makes a post that says, "The bitch is dead."
Oh, what? Why?
No idea. You scared the dog.
I scared the dog. Like, the dog thinks.
He's like, "What's going on? Is there something outside?" But so, like, she says, "The bitch is dead," and then,
oh my God.
Like, all these people start commenting. They're like, this isn't funny. I think your account got hacked. Like, all of this stuff. And then she puts another comment underneath it that says, like, I slashed that fat pig and raped her daughter. She's talking about, like, she's trying to, like, lay a false trail but is not doing it well.
Right. She's almost...
And the fact that she thinks that somebody, like, a random person would come in and kill someone and then go on their Facebook... And post something?
Right, right. She's trying to play it off like, oh, I was hacked. Or not hacked, but like...
Somebody attacked. It was some random
killer.
Person.
Yeah. And after he came in and killed her, he decided to stop on the computer for whatever reason.
And go on Facebook.
And then type in Facebook.com and then leave a post.
It's just... This is what I mean by like, I have no idea what she was thinking that was going to do.
You know what? I can't really blame her, to be
honest. She has such a warped sense of reality. You can't.
And it's all really because of that woman.
Yes.
That is really evil and just really screwed her up. So I can't blame her, to be honest.
No. So they go to Nick's parents' house, right? And they tell Nick's parents that, you know, her mom kicked her out and that's why she's not there and that's why she has to go live with them and all of this stuff. So... they obviously get arrested, all of, you know, and like the interviews with Nick's parents are like, what? And they're like, she manipulated him into this. And like, it's really unclear like what happened.
Right.
And it's also very hard to trust her in certain ways because look who she learned everything from.
Yeah. Man, right? That sucks because like she, you don't know whether you should trust her.
Yeah.
And if she was manipulating him possibly into doing this, and we just don't really know.
Which is why some of the questions you're asking when you're like, was she in the wheelchair? Was she not? I was like, I don't know, because she's the only person telling us this story.
Right.
And she like may not be a reliable narrator.
Right.
Like it is it is not disputed that she was not sick.
Right.
She was not sick. Her mom was clearly abusing her, right? But how much of what she tells us is true and how much of that is an exaggeration because she knows it'll get her sympathy.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I truly don't know, right? But so essentially, you know, this is clearly premeditated murder. And it's funny because she's in the police office, a police station, and she's basically telling them, like, I didn't know anything. Like, Nick, I never told him to kill my mother. And then they're at trial and they pull out like text messages. And she's like, oh my God, where did you get those? And I'm like, you didn't think they were going to look at your text messages? Like, they weren't going to look at the printed out conversations that you saved and put in your drawer in your dresser. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
But she never, we don't know if.
She didn't acknowledge it, that they had planned it. But she just said that.
But she never explicitly said, will you kill?
No, but she handed him a knife and gloves.
Right.
Also, you may hear Hank grumbling in the background. He wants food, so he's making noise.
Yeah. You're going to have to wait, buddy. You got to wait.
But so this is like clearly premeditated murder, right? However, prosecutors kind of realize there are some mitigating circumstances here. Like this is, obviously you can't use battered wife syndrome here, but it's basically the same thing. Like she was held captive and tortured. And so they basically went for second degree murder. And she pled guilty to second degree murder and was charged and was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Wow.
So she is eligible for parole in 2023.
Wow.
But I think the sad part about this is Nick Godejohn opted to go to trial and he was sentenced to life without parole.
Oh.
Now, I mean, yes, he killed someone, but right. He was clearly, like, he's not fully mentally capable of making that decision and was manipulated into it. Do I think he needs to serve prison time? Yes. Do I think life without parole is really fair in this instance?
What a shitty situation overall, right? Like, this woman who was clearly torturing her daughter, now, it's like an ethical question. Is it ethical to kill the person who had basically manipulated and tortured you your entire life and gaslit you and basically incapacitated you?
Well, physically harmed her.
Right, exactly.
She made her have surgery to remove her salivary glands.
Is it ethical to kill that person if they are doing all of this to you?
I don't know that it's ethical. I'm never going to say killing somebody is ethical. I think in this case, this is mitigating circumstances. I think this is a fair and just outcome, her going to prison for a period of time. Yeah. Right, because she did have other options. Even though she believed she didn't have other options, she had other
options. She didn't know, though. She really didn't, because she was so sheltered.
She was on the internet. She was telling Nicholas. She told other people.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we don't know the whole story with that point.
Yeah.
And listen, like, I honestly don't think she should be sentenced to more than 10 years.
Hmm.
And before I started research on this, I was like, absolutely, like, I don't even know if she should be in jail. Like, there should, but like, when you talk to, like, there are situations where she knows what she's doing is wrong and she knew she had other options. She could have run away.
Right.
She, you know, like, she could leave. She didn't have to kill her. And the more you listen to her, the more I can't tell if she's being manipulative or not. Like, she, I don't know.
But what's the happily ever after? What can we?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm thinking.
Well, the happily ever after to me is that she now has a relationship with her father. And once she gets out, she's going to go live with her father and he's going to help her sort of establish.
Oh, good.
Her life.
Oh, good, good, good.
And they're in touch. And it seems like they have a really caring relationship. And he apologized for never. He was like, I didn't see it. I'm so sorry. And she goes, no, we were both manipulated by Dee Dee. Like, she is a master manipulator. And it's, I don't know. It's really tough.
Yeah.
And it's really weird to think that she's like our age.
That is really weird. And honestly, like, what I got from this is like, if in your gut you see something and on the surface it looks okay, but your gut is saying something is off, whether you're a police officer, a doctor, a family friend, or part of the family, follow your gut. Because there were so many instances where family members, doctors, police officers probably thought, like, you know, something seems off, but just went about their day.
Yeah.
And there's just times where the dog is like, hey, I need food. You guys, you got to stop.
I don't care about your stupid podcast. No, but you're right. And this is what we were talking about last time too, yeah. Right? But I also want to be careful, like, you know, don't always jump to conclusions. Like, you know, I think it's important to make sure that what you're seeing has some validity to it, right? Yeah. Like, I caution this because we know that calling police on black and brown people tends to end badly, right? So I do want to make sure that you're taking that second to think about it.
Yeah.
But if you see a white lady, call the police. No, but really, no, but if you do see a pattern, like, it is important. If you have a gut feeling, like, say something or even talk to the person, like, hey, are you okay? Is there anything I can help you with? Mm. Like, you know, just be a lifeline for those people as much as you can.
Yeah. Agreed. And you know what we forgot to do?
What's that?
Forgot to
figure out how to end a podcast?
Figure out how to end a podcast.
We did forget how to end a podcast.
So you know what we should do?
Just end it?
Just end it.
We should just end it. Good night.
Good night.